Coming your way after 4:40, chance of for everyone to win a pair of tickets to the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention, Chicago Hilton Hotel.
Woo.
July 21st to the 23rd. We're going to be doing a live broadcast there
a week
from Friday, all brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. All right, there's nothing to see here, people. Let's move along. Here's Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel. He's got he's going to do golf highlights, I believe, coming up tonight at 5 o'clock on Special Report. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, Brett.
I know.
What are you going to do? Hey, all right, well, let's talk about this. There is the White House today, the White House briefing. Obviously, they're not taking any questions on Donald Trump Jr.'s email exchange now with this European entertainment promoter who seemed to be the go-between between perhaps the this entertainer, this Russian lawyer, and this oligarch, and Donald Trump Jr. seems to be clearly understanding or believing that this is a woman who the lawyer is a woman who has connections to the Russian government and, you know, would be able to provide information, opposition research information about Hillary Clinton. How does Donald Trump Jr. get around all of this, and how does the Trump White House get around all this and continue on with the business of the people?
Well, I think this is a big stumbling block. It's a lot different than what White House officials had been saying for a long time. It's a lot different than what Donald Trump Jr. had been saying for a long time, was that, you know, one, he hadn't met with any other Russians that he knew of, two, or that he hadn't, the meetings hadn't been set up, and three, that the collusion thing and working with Russians against Hillary Clinton is just, you know, ludicrous. And, you know, this email that he sends out, and he's being praised by his father, President Trump, for what he said was transparency. Mm-hmm. You know, the email comes out ahead of this New York Times story that it seemed like they had all the elements of the story and were just about ready to publish this email. And
when they apparently reached out to Donald Trump Jr. Mm-hmm. for comment, and that's
specific
when he
questions.
Chose to
put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the email, as you saw, specifically references this lawyer having ties to the Russian government, using those words, and that the Russian government has an interest in helping Donald Trump defeat Hillary Clinton, and that there's information. They goes into a little bit of the information, and it's Hillary Clinton's dealings with the Russians, which also raises all kinds of questions. But that is the pretense for the meeting being set up. And so it's a lot different than it was originally talked about. It is hard substantive evidence. It is opening another door to this investigation, and it is not going to end anytime soon. This is just the beginning, I think.
Well, okay, so Donald Trump Jr. today was on Twitter this morning because the Today Show had an interview with this lawyer from Russia. And she said, well, no, I've never worked for the government. I'm not a government agent. I have nothing mm-hmm. to do with this. And she denied everything. And then Donald Trump Jr., before these emails actually came out earlier today, had tweeted, hey, she even says she's not a government agent. So he was even doubling down this morning before this whole thing started to unravel with the New York Times phone call to him like, hey, we're about to publish. And it's very interesting because the New York Times put out a push notification. Mm-hmm. That they were in possession of the emails, and then within I would say half an hour of that, it appears, then that's when Donald Trump Jr. released his version of those emails. So let's to the broader question here. I think this is on the minds of a lot of Republicans, though. All right, if you want to do is a redo of healthcare or a redo of the budget. Or, you know, whether it's a big public works project or whatever, infrastructure, whatever those things are, or even Afghanistan. There's talk today that there's an Afghanistan policy that is going to be announced, a brand new one. Mm-hmm. How can they do that? Can they walk and chew gum, to use the term that they're using in Washington every day?
Well, I think they can. I think they probably it may behoove them to move the Russian sanctions bill a little quicker. To show that they're being tough on Russia, but I think that there will be, you know, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, announcing today that August recess will be pushed back a couple of weeks, that they're going to have a vote on Obamacare repeal and replace, whether it passes or not. They're going to deal with judicial nominees that have been stalled. They're going to pass the National Defense bill and, you know, move forward on a number of big ticket items. But as far as, you know, tax reform, they're still, you know, churning away, and they think that they're going to get that done in the fall. It does slow the gears, though, when a lot of the focus is on this investigation. And I think, you know, Mitch McConnell can operate and rally Republicans behind the scenes, but the president's ability to move Republicans changes when there's a lot of doubt about what his White House has been saying about things.
Brett, is it your sense on this, the subject of health care, that Mitch McConnell is trying to get moderates on board and plans to pass it that way, but the moderates who don't like the deep cuts to Medicaid, et cetera? Or is there some sense that he actually would be reaching across the aisle and trying to get some Democrats on board? And do you ultimately believe that this bill, in some form of what we know about it, will pass the Senate?
So I think, you know, it's a little bit 60-40 against right now. We don't have all the details of it yet. We don't have a CBO score, Congressional Budget Office score, but that's probably in the next few days. I think that there will be a heavy push and pressure to get it across the finish line. They're not going to get Democratic support. And if it fails, then there will be an outreach to Democrats to try to fix what is on the table, and that is a spiraling Obamacare that is, you know, some states you have one or sometimes no choices about health insurers.
All right, so it becomes a question, because there was a story in the Wall Street Journal today that the new Senate bill, which we're going to see more about or hear more about on Thursday, or an update on it. I don't know how they want to phrase that. They're a little busy today trying to figure out how to dodge reporters' questions in the hallways. When they're doing that, they claim in this redo that there's going to be a replacement of that tax on high net worth individuals, on high income individuals. Mm-hmm. That millionaire's tax that was part of what was paying for this, that was an aggravating principle in the beginning of it for conservatives and libertarians. That's obviously going to take your Ted Cruz's and your Rand Paul's and some of the other conservatives out. And you know, you're going to see some Koch brother pushback on it, if that's in fact in the bill, and if there is more Medicaid support, that's also going to pull some people back out. I mean, you just said something I think is very interesting, which is, you know, do they have to then come up with a Band-Aid as opposed to a repeal and replace?
I think they do, and they're working on hybrids if they can't get the full loaf. In other words, delaying some of those things. I've heard that that tax, you know, being taken out, delaying it 5 to 7 years for the implementation, pushing back some of the big changes to Medicaid over time to get the system settled. I mean, they're trying to do the full thing, then they're trying to do like a half a thing, and then they're going to punt and get Democrats and say, all right, let's fix this, what we have now, and move on to tax reform.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you this about Afghanistan. This is also developing today. We do understand there's going to be, and even Sarah Huckabee Sanders did, in answering one of the questions today at the press briefing, did say that we should expect a new Afghanistan policy coming out of the White House and the Department of Defense within the next week or so. And there has been some talk, and there's reports now in the New York Times and Washington Post that they're asking for the guy from Blackwater and some other private contractor types mm-hmm. to weigh in on what those strategies should be. Is there some sort of expectation now in the Beltway of what we're going to be looking at?
Well, I know from a Pentagon perspective, they're looking at an increase of troops of somewhere 4,000 to 6,000, which is less than I think some of the commanders on the ground want. Some of the foreign countries over at the G20 and other meetings have offered troops to go in, the Brits, the Aussies, others. But I do think that there's going to be some element of this contractor situation where they try to work with the Afghan population and the soldiers there, and eventually, you know, get to a point where U.S. troops can come out. But before doing that, they're going to have to increase the numbers on the ground.
Yeah, contracted. It's a, well, you know, we'll have to see. And will the Afghan government be paying for that? Will we be paying for that? And who's responsible for when things go right or go wrong there? And then finally, the White House press office and their operations. I got to get your thought on this.
Oh, my gosh.
Siege.
Yeah, the no cameras allowed, or no you know, moving cameras. They can take still photos. Audio only, on tape delay. Obviously, they're trying to. There's a number of stories today also about why they're doing this. They're trying to they're basically trying to slow up the cycle if they can, using that kind of a tactic, the news cycle.
It's really interesting. Listen, being a former chief White House correspondent, I'm an advocate for openness and access, and I think the press briefing is crucial. So I fight against that. I stand with the White House Correspondents Association. From a tactical perspective, from their point of view, they, I think, saw stars in the making and some of the press specifically catering some of the questions and how they asked it to being a C-SPAN star or a CNN star or a Fox News star, because we took every moment of every second of every briefing. And they want to take some of the sting away from some of that. And I don't know if it's the right way to think about it, but that's, I think, their thinking.
Were they concerned that Spicer was becoming a star, or the reporters?
No, that the
star?
Reporters asking these very pointed questions are doing it or souping it up a little bit for the cameras, because they know how much they're watched. But listen, I mean, that happens in every administration. I covered Don Rumsfeld at the Pentagon, and it was must-see TV in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Well, that man never sat down. I mean, we all know that about him. He didn't even own a chair.
We got skewered in that briefing.
Yes, he was going to think. All right, Brett, I know you got to run, but thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, Brett Baer, Fox News Channel.